Heavenly Father, thank you that you sent Jesus. And I thank you for this wonderful group of people gathered here, declaring out loud, we believe in the name of Jesus and everything that that name stands for. Thank you, Heavenly Father. Pray this morning as we consider some of your word, that you will open our hearts and our minds to understand more of it, to know what it means to believe in the name of Jesus and what that inspires us to do. Be here in the power of your Spirit, Lord. Touch each one of us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Please do take a seat. Now, do you know, sometimes, Jesus said it as well. When people asked him, who was the most important person, do you know who he got? Got a small child. And put a small child in the middle of them. Sometimes we have to listen to children, don't we? Yes, begrudgingly the parents are going, yeah, occasionally. Sometimes they might be right. Sometimes we have to listen to them. Well, I can't take credit for this. Julie found this video. This is the most amazing video. Children telling us something about what it means to talk about Jesus. Watch this. Make sure the sound's on, Keith, won't you?
Hey kids, have you ever been on a super important, super special mission? Like sneaking behind enemy lines to capture the flag, to bring your team to victory, or grabbing something from the pantry so your mom can make dinner.
Well, today, that's what we're talking about, the most important mission of all.
It's called the Great Commission, and we first hear about it from Jesus in the book of Matthew.
Let's take a look and see what it says. Jesus came and told his disciples, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I've given you.
Jesus said this to his disciples, but it's for us too. So let's see how we can complete our mission.
Go make disciples. When Jesus died on the cross, he made a way for us to follow him, and so that we can be in heaven with him someday. And if you put your faith in him, that makes you a disciple.
But Jesus wants everybody to be a disciple, so it's up to us to help him.
And the best way to do that is to tell others about him. Tell them how much Jesus loves them, and that he died on the cross for them too.
Then, hopefully, they'll start to follow Jesus too. Next, baptize them.
See, once somebody puts their faith in Jesus, they're saved.
That's it. There's nothing else they have to do. Jesus has done everything for them.
But new disciples like to get baptized because it shows everybody around them that they belong to Jesus now.
It shows others that just like Jesus died and rose again, we go into the water and come back out, signifying our new life with him. Last, teach them to obey Jesus.
Now that someone is saved, they need to know how Jesus wants them to live their life.
See, when we know what Jesus wants from us and we go do it, that's called obedience.
And it's our job to help new disciples do that. Teach them about what the Bible says and show them how to do it in their lives.
And that's the Great Commission. It wasn't just for the disciples, it was for all of us. And that's why it's our memory verse. Therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations.
So next time you're on a super special, important mission,
remember the most important mission of all, and go tell others about Jesus.
I hope you enjoyed that. I enjoyed that. I thought that was great. That's from the Gospel of Matthew, as you'd have seen, one of the books in the middle of the Bible, right at the end of the book. You know, that bit about go and tell people is so important. It's in other Gospels as well. In Mark, it says, he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved. But whoever does not believe will be condemned. It's two sides. There's another gospel called Luke. It was written, the book of Acts, which comes a little bit after, was written by the same person. And the bit is actually just right at the start of Acts. He said to them, it is not for you to know the times or the dates the Father has set by his own authority. We don't know when, But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. That sounds good. That's what we believe here. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. You will go everywhere and tell people about Jesus. These words are our starting point. Our starting point. This is the first week that we're going to explore three statements of St. Augustine's vision. If you look on our website, it says it there. The evangelization of the nation, the revitalization of the church, and the transformation of society. We're looking at the evangelization of the nation. Now, if you've been in the church recently over a number of weeks, you'll know that we did a series called Frontlines. We finished a few weeks ago, which is all about where can we talk to people about God? How can we witness to God? It doesn't have to be talking. Really important. Last 2 weeks, we've been looking at church planting, about going out and doing something about it. And I know that the younger streams, at least one of them, was thinking about a guy called Paul, who went out in the book of Acts and planted new churches all over the place. So today, and for the next couple of weeks, we're going to look at this vision of those three statements, the evangelization of the nation, the revitalization of the church, and the transformation of society. So I thought we'd start with five easy questions. Who, what, why, where, and when? Who is called to go and tell people? Shout, Katie. Everyone. Is anybody here not included in everyone? Good. I'm glad you've not put your hands up. Do you remember the song we sang, Big Family of God? Who's included in God's family? Who did you point at? You? Anybody not get a point at? Is anybody feeling lonely because they weren't pointed at? I was sat over there. I didn't see anybody point at me. Thank you. Although Tim did nod at me at one point. If you've asked Jesus to be your friend, that's all the qualification you need to go and tell other people about him. And that doesn't matter whether you're that big or that big or anywhere in between or how old you are or how young you are. What are we asked to do? This big word evangelize, what does it mean? What does evangelize mean? Ooh, now we've gone quiet, haven't we? What's in your mind when I say the word evangelize? Sorry? Tell other people. I've even got signs being pointed at. Tell other people. That is it. That is it. To share the good news of what Jesus has done. And do we have to open our mouths to evangelize? Do we have to open our mouth for people to see the love of God coming through us? Actually, it can be just in how we are, in how we act, in how we come alongside people. What we do, just as much as what we say. Sometimes it can be about how much we listen. We've got two ears and one mouth. Some say that's because we should listen twice as much as we talk. As I stand here this morning, I'm very conscious that I'm talking a lot. What we do and how we do it, that's something we should share. I know Tony's, I don't know if Tony's here this morning, I've not seen him. He's marking test papers. A couple of weeks ago, Tony stood up here and told us the most amazing story about how he'd listened to what God had said and he'd gone and spoken to somebody and he's still waiting on God to see what happens. If anybody has stories of how God has used them, of how God has given them people to talk to or ways to share the good news, I'd love you to come and tell us. And that's any time. Yeah? Anybody got a hand up? You put your hand up later if you want. We'll do that. Often doing is more important than telling. Where do we do it? Emily. Your voice is too quiet for me to hear. What did you say?
In a church.
In a church, yes, we can do it in a church. Where else can we do it? Where else can we tell people? Where?
At home.
At home? Brilliant. Where else do we go? Oh, Emily's got another one. Are you going to shout this time or have I got to run? Outside? Yes? Anybody go to school? Only about half of you go to school. I hope there's no truancy inspectors here this morning. Anybody go to work? Anybody go and spend time with their friends? Anybody visit any clubs? We're all over the place all the time. We can share the good news of Jesus wherever we go. Where we're doing the evangelization of the nation. Where is the nation? Everywhere. Going to think a little bit more about that. It's on your doorstep. Yeah? You might have heard me talk about Lindbergh Road Community Church. If you've not, talk to me afterwards. It's a church plant we're going to do. Lindbergh Road, who knows where Lindbergh Road is? Anyone who's visited my house will know where it is because that's where we live. The doorstep, where we live, that is where we're going to take it. School, work, anywhere. We don't exclude ourselves from further away. There's a notice on the board at the back about Peter and Pat who came to see us last year, who are in a place that I can't remember. That's it. Democratic Republic of Congo. I'd got Burkina Faso in my head because a previous pastor at a church I went to spent time in Burkina Faso. All over the place. When should we share the good news of Jesus? Anytime. All the time. Because as we heard in that little bit I read from Acts, we don't know when Jesus is going to come back. And because we don't know, we have to live it all the time as if it could be any moment now. Personally, I used to pray for Jesus' return as I sat in front of an exam paper at school. It never happened. We do not know the day or the hour, so we should live as if it is in the next moment. And why do we do it? Why do we tell people about Jesus? I'll give you the first one, because Jesus asked us to. And two, transforms lives, makes things completely different. If you've got the best news ever in the world, why wouldn't you share it with people? Something that can make such a difference. That's my why, what, where, when, and how. No, not how. How is what I was going to come on to. Because how, I think, is actually quite important. Because we meet together to equip each other, to come up with ways of helping us do just that, to tell people. So let's see if we can get some practical advice. Again, if you want to come and tell us your bit of practical advice, make your way up and we'll get to you. How did the early church do it? Well, we got people like Paul and Peter and John and Thomas. They went to places. They walked from where they were in Jerusalem, and they went to places to tell people about Jesus. Key stage one and two. Anybody here from key stage one and two? I know that you calculated how far Paul went on his journeys. Can you remember how far it was? Jenny can, but can Emily or anybody else? I think it's a big number. Yes, Emily has now remembered. With a little prompting. Go on, shout in there.
900.
900 miles. Now that's even further than the Proclaimers went. I would walk 500 miles. He walked 900 miles and had boat and he had all sorts of exciting journeys. And that's how they did it. That's how they did. They went and they walked around and wherever they went, they talked to people. Or there's a great story about Peter and John going into the temple and someone crying out for money, and they said, I haven't got any money, but I'll give you the best thing I've got. In the name of Jesus, this guy couldn't walk. And in that time, that meant he was completely outcast from society. And they said to him, in the name of Jesus, stand up and walk. And he got up and he went walking, dancing and praising God. and his life was transformed by the love of Jesus. They didn't preach at him. They transformed his life by action. What else did they do? They wrote letters. We still have some of those letters today. They're in the Bible. Ephesians, Galatians, Colossians, Corinthians. These are all books of the Bible that are actually letters written to different people in the church. So, how can we do it today? This is where the rubber hits the road, as they say. What can we do? We can talk, just like they did. Was that Melissa?
Just say about sharing on social media.
Oh, very good one. So I've got a whole session here, a whole section on my notes about online. Now, who can put their hand up and say they have noticed that the world has changed during their lifetime? Yeah, that's amazing. Even the brownies, less so the rainbows, even the brownies are putting their hand up and saying things have changed. Who remembers a world without computers? Not even Tim remembers a world without computers. They were just arriving, sort of, as I was growing up. That technological change has made an amazing difference to me, because that's what my career is based on. And I learned that stuff as I grew up. So technology has changed. So how can we share Jesus' love online? You can listen to podcasts. You can invite other people to listen to podcasts. There's a friend of mine who, she's in the UK at the moment, but she's originally from Chennai. And she sends me links to podcasts from her church in Chennai, in India. Say, oh, have a listen to this, because this is good. Music. What music do we listen to, and how public do we make that music? A guy at work came to me and said, oh, what are you listening to today? And I was listening to a track from a guy called Toby Mack, who's a Christian. And his music is very, very Christian-based. He's a bit of an American rapper at heart, but he's really good. I enjoy his music. And I shared that with a guy at work. I said, yeah, why don't you have a listen? Because he thought he might like it. So, yeah, have a listen. You don't know what messages people will get. Anybody notice that our website has our sermons on it? The talks that we give. Maybe download them, maybe listen to them. Social media. So, this is kind of where you were. We can share pictures. We share links, likes, shares. All these newfangled words that weren't there when I was growing up. We can do those things now. And that got me thinking about a really important point. Evangelization of the nation. In the past, Peter, Paul, Thomas, these guys, they had to walk to get to anybody outside of their local community. When the church built the parish system that we operate today, still, of building a church and having that church reached out to its community, the community was there around it fixed. People didn't travel. They didn't walk 10 miles to the next church. Today, we drive. We can go wherever we like. We've got choice. Online, how many people can we reach if a video goes viral? How many? Millions. Millions of people. Tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands, millions of people off something that anybody here could share. Anyone. I read this. A viral video is every marketeer's dream. It's analysis of some 430 billion video views and 100,000 consumer data points reveals the two most powerful drivers of viral success. Psychological response. So how the video or the thing makes you feel. And number two, which I think speaks really highly to me, the social motivation. Why do you want to share it? And where did I start this morning? I started off by saying, that if we believe in Jesus, why wouldn't we want to share the most amazing news? And why wouldn't that just flow from within us? Even online marketing recognizes that the intention you have as you share is the most important, one of the most important drivers for whether people will look at it. We can do that. We have an amazing ability to connect with millions of people all across the world. So my challenge for people on social media is, what do you share? Does every post you do show people what I'm having for lunch? Or does it share something of the love of Jesus? Here's my lunch, praise God for it. You can do both. We share frustrations, we share joys, we share things we maybe shouldn't share. You know, our society is trying to work out, how do we handle social media? What if every post you do pointed in some way to Jesus? Wouldn't that be amazing? And then as you do that, your friends, who some of whom will be here, might share that post. And it goes even wider. Anyone here wearing branded clothing? Oops. It's all right, it's only my glasses case. Some branded clothing? I can see branded clothing all over the front here. Brownies, guides, scouts, cubs, rainbows. You want people to see who you are, don't you? I'm proud of wearing my puppet team hoodie because it says something about what I'm doing and who I am. Hollister. We're sharing information about who we are and what we stand for depending on what we even wear. Are we not? Disagree? I think we do. It says something about us. What about when we finish this morning, what about going to Costa Coffee and having a conversation with some friends about this morning's talk? Anybody ever done that? Brilliant. Isaac's in town on a Friday night. Me and Julia are often there. And we have meetings in there about church stuff. Because if we run out of other evenings, we invite people to come down and talk to us and have a meeting in the middle of the coffee shop. It's great. I have no idea what the people on the next table are hearing. But I pray that God will speak to them through it. There's so many ways that we can do things, even subtly, that tell people about the amazing person of Jesus. I think sometimes we need to refocus on that. We need to refocus on what we do and how we do it. Where we do it, when we do it. Because the world has changed. The church is not the centre of the community anymore. You know, in hundreds of years ago, when the church, parish church was set up, this is where the community would meet. And now, it's a choice to come. People come not because that's where the community is, but because they want to come to worship Jesus. So if they don't already know about Jesus, why would they come? That's why I think we need to change the way we think about it. That's why our front lines are important. That's why planting churches is important. And I guess to come back to something similar to what Rhiannon said. Last week, Rhiannon, our archdeacon, came and talked to us about planting churches. And one of the things she said was, it's not a question about whether we want to plant, it's a question about how and when are we going to do it, because that's what we should be doing. I think the question for us this morning is not about whether we go and share the good news of Jesus, but where, when, and how is God calling us to do it? To always have that in mind. We all have a different part to play. We're not all called to come and stand at the front of a church and speak. We're not all called to go and speak to a stadium like Billy Graham did so many years ago. But we are all called to be part of the body of Christ and to share something of him. And actually, we talked about social media. We have a platform so much bigger than anyone has ever had before that so many of us can now engage with and do that. So I want to encourage you, as part of this church, to go to tell people, to evangelize this nation. Because actually, I think this nation has become almost worldwide just through virtue of the fact that we can now communicate to the entire world. No longer are we limited to the few hundred people where we live. So that's my encouragement to you this morning. How can you share the good news of Jesus? And what is the way that God is calling you to do that?